You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers Winky Wednesday edition. My guest today, Nick Winkler, joining me to answer some questions. We're going to probably talk some quarterbacks. We've got some quarterback news. The 49ers have added another quarterback. Who is it and what does it mean for the 49ers roster construction? That's what we're covering on today's program. Some of the questions that we are hitting are from my Twitter account. You can find me at BD Peacock. You can find Nick at Bay Area Wink. You can email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And now let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down. DeWink is on fire.
Are you on fire today, Nick, for the signing of one Nate Sudfeld, Modesto, California native, by the way?
Yeah, 209. What's up? Yeah, bring it on, Nate.
Super Bowl champion, Jimmy Garoppolo, Super Bowl champion. Compare rings. Josh Rosen, by the way, might be getting a ring for his time on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers practice squad for most of the year last year. So,
no, interesting.
Three Super Bowl champion quarterbacks on the 49ers roster next year, and hopefully a future Super Bowl champion quarterback that they'll be drafting at number three, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, why waste that pick on a quarterback? You got three guys that can go out and win you a Super Bowl, right? I mean, come on.
Exactly. Completely unnecessary. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they traded up for tight end Kyle Pitts.
There you go. Hey, he is the best athlete in the draft, right?
Yes, he's the best non-quarterback, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinion. We'll see how he goes in the Ultimate Mock Draft, getting a lot of details about that, which is coming in mid-April. I guess it's coming up in a couple weeks here, 19th through 26th. Six episodes. I think the first episode will be on all of the podcast feeds, but you're going to have to go to a special feed to get the Ultimate Mock Draft. We did it last year. We've done it for the last couple of years, and I've been involved with it. It's been super fun. Matt Williamson and I are going to host it again, and some even bigger analysts this time. Brian Baldinger, you may have heard of one Michael Irvin is going to be involved with it. Yeah, he didn't play for the 49ers. You probably never saw him play.
Right, he was on our rival there. Yeah. We don't like those guys.
But it's going to be awesome, so I wanted to talk to everybody about that. Oh, yeah, go check out Locked On NFL Draft. I'm actually on Wednesday's episode of Locked On NFL Draft with Trevor Sikkema and Ben Solak right here on the network. And I'm making the pick for the 49ers in their little mock draft. So go there and find out who I'm selecting for the 49ers. Nick, have you done any work? Have you been grinding any tape of these prospects when it comes to the quarterbacks that the 49ers could be choosing from at number three?
Well, I was just going to remind everybody out there that I've been banned from those draft audio podcasts because of my Reuben Foster pick a few years ago,
right.
You may recall. That was from then on. It was just like, no, get this guy out of here.
You loved Reuben Foster. You had the Niners taking Foster at number two, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was before down to pick three. That's right. So this is the fourth then. I was thinking this was going to be the third. This is the fourth time we've been doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was when you stepped aside for a second because you were hosting the whole thing. And,
yeah.
And you had me, the 49er expert, come on there, the college, the pro scout that I am, get on there. And I did get the pick right. I mean, I missed the number, you know, that the Niners actually took Reuben Foster with by what, 29 picks?
The 49ers did pick the guy that you said.
Yeah.
It didn't turn out great, but, I mean, come on.
No, it did not. No, Niner fans out there sure seem to remember that and remind everyone constantly about the amazing Alabama. That's why they're not picking Mac Jones, man, because of Reuben Foster.
Probably. I mean, did you hear the report about Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch at the Alabama Pro Day? Mm-hmm. And someone asked Nick Saban since then what – he told the 49ers about Mac Jones, and he said, they didn't ask me anything. They didn't talk to me.
I hadn't heard that.
They do not trust Nick Saban. That is so hilarious. And look,
who in their right mind trusts Nick Saban?
I mean, I wouldn't trust Nick Saban. I mean, he would, like, imagine how bad he cheats in poker, right? He does not want to lose.
Or golf. He's that guy that just, like, nudges his ball up on a fluffy lie.
Yeah, or he hits three balls into the water and then he's like, oh, yeah, give me a five on that one. Give me a bogey on that one. He's like,
seven feet out, sure? He's like, this is a gimme, right? I got this. Just go pick it up.
Oh,
he's totally that guy.
He definitely wears that straw hat, too, on the golf course.
Oh, yeah. You know he does.
But yeah, it's hilarious. 49ers don't trust him, so they just didn't even ask him. And that doesn't mean they're not going to draft Mac Jones, but they don't care what Nick Saban has to say about it. That's how burned they still feel. You think Kyle Shanahan holds some grudges? And just the competitiveness with those guys? That is hilarious. And look, last year, they didn't make a peep even after the draft. They didn't talk about the two stud first-round wide receivers that Alabama has, right? They were not in on Henry Ruggs. They were not in on Jerry Jeudy. They were like,
which was surprising.
CeeDee Lamb or it's Brandon Ayuk. Those are the two guys they mentioned. So maybe there's something to it where they're like, and they haven't drafted an Alabama player since Reuben Foster either. So I think they had, who's it, Jared Maiden, right? The undrafted safety that's been on the practice squad. I think that's the only other Alabama player that they've even brought in, but they haven't drafted anybody since Reuben Foster. So they absolutely feel burnt. And I just thought it was hilarious that they didn't even ask the coach about this player that they could potentially take number three overall. It's amazing.
There's just no possible way, Brian, that they moved up to three to get Mac Jones. Like, it's just not, that's not real. That's not a reality.
Well, how about this? I'm going to give you some homework. I'm going to give you two games of each player to watch.
Okay.
Mac Jones, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance.
Like, okay.
The best game and the worst game. You know, just the cut-ups so you can see throw after throw. Not highlights, but like the cut-ups that that some very fine people do. On Twitter and on YouTube, and I'm glad that those videos are out there because it makes things much quicker to go through. And I want to get your honest opinion. Like, if you love Mac Jones, tell me. You don't have to have a differing, you don't have to have the same opinion I do about these prospects. I would like to see, you know, or what jumps out to you. Like, okay, this player reminds me of X NFL player or something like that. Just your initial thoughts. I would love to hear those from you. So I'll give you some homework this week.
All right, throw it in my Google Drop.
Yes, I will.
That's a thing, right?
I think so. Google Drop, Google Drive, I think it's called
Google Drive.
I think it's you're confusing the Google Drive and the Dropbox.
Okay, I combined them.
Yeah, same deal.
That's perfect.
How about this one from Charlie Casserly of the NFL Network, former NFL GM? He said he surveyed 23 teams on the ranking of the top five quarterbacks in this NFL draft. All 23 of these teams had Trevor Lawrence number one and he wrote Kyle Wilson. He's getting up there in age. Zach Wilson. Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson number two. All 23. The final three in the ranking were number three, Justin Fields, number four, Trey Lance, number five, Mac Jones, which is exactly the order I think they should be in.
Sure.
He said, interestingly, 13 of those 23 teams had Fields as the number three guy. Six of those teams had Trey Lance and four had Mac Jones as the number three guy. And I don't know what the 23 teams were. I don't know if he was talking to the actual person who's going to make the pick. Was he talking to just a random scout? Was he talking to a head coach, a GM, or what? And I don't know.
The guy that stocks the press box with food.
Right. And if it would probably be better, in fact, if he was asking teams that aren't in the quarterback market, because then he would get less lies told to him.
Right.
So... I don't know,
23 teams, that's about right. Yeah, right? About 23 teams not going to draft a quarterback.
Yeah, and then seven you could see that are probably very likely to draft one early or likelier than the others, so you don't want them, you know, lying to you. So, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
okay.
That's just some
interesting
evidence there that would point to maybe teams are sort of being very quiet about Justin Fields because they actually do like him a lot in that.
Yeah, I mean, it just really comes down to, do you trust Kyle Shanahan when it comes to evaluating quarterback talent? I mean, it's hard to be completely honest because of his draft history, but if he sees Mac Jones as the guy that can run his offense perfectly, then we got to trust him. Right. I mean, I don't see that, but I'm not Kyle Shanahan. You know, I don't even really study college film. You know, I've seen a few highlights on Twitter. I've watched a couple pro days and that's about it. You know,
I get into this argument after every draft, too, with a section of fans where I say, you know, I didn't like this move the 49ers did, or I didn't like this trade up or whatever. And there's always a group of people who will have the same answer. And they always say, well, I think they know a little bit better than you do about what's going to be a good player. And I'm like, well, sometimes they don't. Like, teams are bad at this, right? So that's the answer there. You would hope that, and maybe they're too close to the fire. And because sometimes a coach, and I was listening, I was listening to Randy Mueller, who was a former NFL GM, and he was talking about this, and he said that there's sometimes a disconnect with coaches and the scouting staff because the coaches get involved in January. The scouting staff have been putting in all this work, and the scouts might not have a high grade on a player, but the coaches see something they like, see a more finished product, and that would be, you could really see how a coach would come into this and be like, well, look, this guy just kind of runs the offense like I kind of want to run it, you know, and it's, and there's right. less, he's closer to being ready. And then the scouts are looking ahead more, you know, 3 or 4 years and like, look what this guy could become. And there's sometimes a disconnect there. And I could absolutely see, and look, I talked about it earlier in the process, like Mac Jones is probably a guy that Kyle Shanahan likes a lot, but I thought when that was when he was going to be a second round pick, it's like, okay, maybe they'll take him at pick 43. Picking him at 12, it was like, eh, I don't know about that. Trading up for him, just I can't see it. I can't see it. And I still don't think it's going to happen, even though that's what everyone who's plugged in says is going to happen with the 49ers. But I'm personally not buying it.
No, I'm with you. I don't buy it. Not one single bit. I think it's one of those things where, you know, maybe they said it at one point, you know, as like, we like Mac Jones. But it's like they never said they're going to take him at 3. They never said they're going to trade up for him.
Right.
You know, these guys are – it's a lot of clickbait too. I mean, it is – 49ers Twitter is unbelievable right now. Like so many people like, oh, my God, like, you know, hot and cold. It doesn't matter sometimes. People just want a reaction out of you, good or bad. And saying that the 49ers traded away a bunch of first-round draft picks to trade up to take Mac Jones, who definitely would have been there at 12 and probably – you know, might have been there in the second round, like that's going to get people fired up. And that's exactly what they've done. The NFL wins again, you know, like keeping people super interested in, when there's nothing going on.
Yeah, the NFL doesn't want people to know who the Jets are taking it to. They don't want people to know who the 49ers are taking it 3 and so on. So it's going to be a super fun season. And yeah, 49ers fans, calm down. Don't eat yourselves because you're probably going to be buying the jersey of whichever guy ends up getting drafted at some point. And then you might have to sell or burn that jersey if. But that's just that's what happens in the NFL. That's what fandom is. Okay, next I want to talk about Nate Sudfeld a little bit, what it means for the 49ers roster, and the second Ohio State Pro Day, they're going to have a chance to see Justin Fields after all. Do you want 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com? Well, listen up and I'll tell you how you can get a tasty treat, a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Right now, I'm staring at a box of Built Bars that I built myself. You can mix and match 3 flavors. I love the peanut butter. I also wanted to try some other flavors, so I went with toffee almond and one of the 6 new flavors, cookies and cream. 130 calories in the cookies and cream flavor. 17 grams of protein, only 4 grams of sugar. It is fantastic. Other new flavors like caramel brownie, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp to go with their 12 original flavors. My favorite is peanut butter that I always talk about. Bars are covered in, this is the best part, 100% chocolate, not a brown colored flavored chocolate weird coating. It's legit chocolate. So get some yourself at 15% off with promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15 for 15% off your next box of Built Bars at BuiltBar.com. We're going to get to some questions, I promise. Real quick, though, from Field Yates, the 49ers hosted defensive lineman Ronald Blair on a visit. Blair hasn't played in a game since 2019 due to injury, so this is a chance for the team to see where he's at medically after releasing him in March. So who knows? Maybe the 49ers will, maybe after the draft, maybe see what they like, maybe not see what they like. But Ronald Blair was very Kerry Hyder-ish for the 49ers. If he can be healthy, he's absolutely someone the 49ers should bring back in at a very cheap deal.
I like that you said Kerry Hyder-ish because I felt like Kerry Hyder was Ronald Blair-ish.
Right, yeah. You know? He was like, okay, Ronald Blair's hurt. Kerry Hyder, come in, play this role. You're like the stand-in.
And then, I like them both.
Yeah, and now Kerry Hyder signed for more money than the 49ers could afford with the Seahawks. And I just talked about, actually, Kerry Hyder with the Locked On Seahawks folks today, earlier. Probably on tomorrow's pod for them if you want to hear my thoughts on Kerry Hyder. And I'm sure, and this is the second time I've been on his podcast this offseason, and I'm sure it's not going to be the last because, I mean, Richard Sherman, who knows who else is from the 49ers will end up signing with the Seahawks. But
over under 5 players.
Nate Sudfeld, this is an interesting one. I didn't see this coming, but as Matt Barrows points out, Rick Scangarello, who is the 49ers' quarterbacks coach, used to be the quarterbacks coach for the 49ers, spent some time as the offensive coordinator with the Broncos and quarterbacks coach in Philadelphia. He was the Eagles last year, where Sudfeld was the backup. So I'm sure he had some input there on the 49ers signing free agent quarterback Nate Sudfeld to compete for a backup, a number 3 role. But now the 49ers have the player that they drafted number 3, Jimmy Garoppolo, Nate Sudfeld, Josh Rosen, and Josh Johnson. That's 5 quarterbacks, and they still have the restricted free agent rights of Nick Mullins that they could tender him a contract, but he's hurt, and they haven't done that yet. So That's five, potentially six quarterbacks that they could have very easily on their roster. Teams only take four quarterbacks to camp and only keep three on the final roster, or two in a lot of cases nowadays. Somebody's got to go. Are they gearing up to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, Nick?
I mean, it sure seems like it, right? I mean, you can get something for him now. Although, how high is his trade value? You know, you get the whole idea of, yeah, you bring Jimmy back. You know, you let the number three draft pick kind of sit behind him, learn the system, because it's a tricky system. And you let Garoppolo go out there, and hopefully he plays really well and doesn't get injured. And then after the season, he's worth something. You know, you can really get something for him on the open market to trade him. But you trade him right now? It's like teams are kind of set, right? I mean, are there – you mentioned the Denver Broncos. That still makes a lot of sense to me. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots still went after it. Cam Newton's not the future there. You know, he's just a placeholder.
It's hard to know what teams are doing right now. I didn't expect the Carolina Panthers to do what they did and make a move for Sam Darnold. So maybe there's still a place for Jimmy G. I think the 49ers might want to. Well, first of all, keeping Jimmy Garoppolo tells me the 49ers are going a little bit more raw at quarterback, right, in the draft,
right,
because they want that veteran to be around and play.
Sure.
So pro readiness might not be a huge factor for them.
Mac Jones out.
Yeah, maybe. They see what the rookie looks like in camp or in the just even in the first OTAs or whatever. And they're like, man, yeah, this guy's good. He's going to be ready to play early. Maybe we can listen to offers on Jimmy G now. Maybe somebody's quarterback gets hurt in the offseason. You know, I don't know.
Sure.
There could be deals to be made. Maybe a team like Denver, maybe they get a quarterback in the draft. Maybe they don't. Maybe Washington decides that something. I don't know. Anyway, there's still some possibilities, but I would probably guess Jimmy stays with the 49ers this year. That's just the way it's going. But what's interesting is this from Ian Rappaport. A note on the Jets trade of Sam Darnold to the Panthers. Prior to free agency, two teams took a hard look at Darnold were the 49ers and Washington football team, sources say. Washington had conversations about it, and SF inquired about what it would take to happen, though New York Jets weren't ready to make a move yet. I tend to think, and there was the reports that the 49ers called the Panthers about Teddy Bridgewater. Could it have been that the Panthers called the 49ers about Jimmy G? Or that the 49ers are just talking to all these teams, trying to figure out what people are doing, trying to figure out what the Jets are doing, trying to figure out what the Panthers are doing, trying to figure out what the value of Jimmy Garoppolo was for themselves if they wanted to trade him, and just doing work. That's because, look, if the 49ers wanted Sam Darnold, they're obviously willing to pay a lot to go get a quarterback. Sam Darnold would be a 49er if they wanted him to be, right?
Right. And I think you hit it on the nose there. Like, they were out there doing their homework. They were seeing what the other teams around them that obviously are looking for quarterback help as well, especially in the draft, what they're going to do. And they called around, they did their homework, they talked to this, they talked to that, and then they're like, okay, let's make the move. Let's trade up. Let's give up some draft picks. Let's go get this guy. You know, Bridgewater too expensive. You know, Darnold too expensive. Like, this is, if we want to get our guy, let's go get him. Let's throw in some draft picks and let's do this thing. And I don't mind that they called around and checked all that. Just like I love that last year they checked in on Tom Brady. Like, you have to do that. If you're not doing your job, if you're not trying to get better, and that's by checking all your avenues. That's by seeing what's out there, seeing how it fits on your squad. And for me personally, I love the idea going into the season with Jimmy Garoppolo as a quarterback and having a young quarterback ready to go, because Jimmy's proven that he can't stay healthy. You know, so if you get this young stud that's in there, that's, even if he is ready to go, you know, come day one, it's still probably best for him to sit around. You know, yeah, Justin Herbert showed last year that's not necessarily, you know, although he started off a little bit slow. No, he actually came out on fire, didn't he?
I mean, he came out pretty much on fire.
And then he kind of mellowed and then got good again.
It was an accident that even got in the game because of the puncture.
But he's probably the exception to the rule rather than the rule.
I don't know. Young quarterbacks are playing more and more.
Mm-hmm.
There is a little bit of a Justin Herbert vibe to Justin Fields, too. The guy that people are nitpicking, that has all of the athleticism and height, weight, speed, and just crazy arm, but is getting picked apart in the draft process. And then you see him play, and you're like, oh, yeah, all this other BS they were talking about didn't really matter. This guy's legit.
So here's another possibility.
Okay.
They keep Jimmy, they draft Fields, and Fields just beats him out.
I thought you were going to say that somebody injects something into Jimmy Garoppolo's lung and he doesn't play. So then,
I mean, that's too obvious. Like, that feels like that's probably going to happen, because that's what rookie quarterbacks do now.
that could potentially happen. And it's in a lot of ways, if Jimmy stays, I almost think that it's a rigged.
Yeah.
It's a rigged competition. That he's going to start. You know, because he's not like, remember Matt Flynn was signed from Green Bay?
Yes, for like $40 million.
Yeah, and then Russell Wilson beat him out. It's not a situation right. like that because Jimmy Garoppolo's already played at too high of a level and Kyle Shanahan's offense is difficult. And Garoppolo's a better player than Matt Flynn was. Matt Flynn was just a glorified backup.
Right. So, playing in a great offense.
Right. So it's really interesting. It could go a number of directions. I have no idea what to think about Jimmy Garoppolo, but they do have a lot of quarterbacks and it seems like they're at least preparing to it's almost like, okay, because Nate Sudfeld could get, I'm sure it's, I don't know what the numbers are. I'm sure it's a low value deal where they could cut him tomorrow and it won't matter. They could cut Rosen. They could cut Josh Johnson. So on the surface, it doesn't matter really. They could do anything they want still at quarterback.
Right.
But it does seem like they're getting their ducks in a row just in case someone calls their bluff and they put a, like, you know, let's say the 49ers are like, some team comes calling. They're like, yeah, we want a high second round pick, like the Denver Broncos call. They're like, we want your second round pick. And it's you know, top 10 of the second round. And Denver says, okay. 49ers like, oh, all right. Well, I guess we're trading Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, it might be a situation like that. So they need to make sure they have a number two and a number three quarterback there that are veterans. So maybe that's it. And maybe they don't expect to trade him, but now they at least can and feel better about their quarterback room if they do.
So what about this? Okay, so let's say that something like that does happen. Do you think that that increases the chance of Nick Mullins coming back because it's a veteran quarterback that knows the system already?
Yes.
Yeah, that can make sense, right? You bring him back and he's kind of the guy in camp that's showing all the other guys. Like, he would be this is how we do it.
That's the other thing is Garoppolo is the only guy that knows the system currently.
Right. I mean, Rosen was there for a little bit last year.
Yeah, like for a month, but he's not, you know, he doesn't, I'm sure, know it well enough to be like, okay, rookie, let me tell you everything about this offense.
Right, exactly.
All right, let's get to some questions next on this Winky Wednesday. It's Masters Week, and you can get in on that action at betonline.ag. Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and NFL draft props, which are super fun. You can get in on all of it at BetOnline. Who will be the first pick, the second pick? I think we have a really good vibe on that. But pick number three, I think you can make yourself some money. First of certain positions off the board. They're going to add more NFL draft props as we get closer as well. And BetOnline is the fastest, easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. They even cover awards, TV shows, reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. All you got to do, head over to the website. You can use your mobile app, mobile device. Use promo code LOCKEDON to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We kind of answered this one already. Jesse said, is the fact that Saban said neither John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan asked him about Jones telling? It's telling in that they don't trust Saban. I don't think it's enough to say they're not taking Mac Jones, but I was already skeptical about Mac Jones anyway. So it doesn't really, you know, change the tide for me.
Right. I'm with you on that.
Let's go to Rennie, who says, at Bay Area Wink, at BD Peacock, for a Mac Jones comparison in previous drafts, is he as good of a prospect as Baker Mayfield or someone else? Hashtag Winky Wednesday. Baker Mayfield.
Interesting.
No, Baker Mayfield had a little bit more juice. He was more athletic.
Not when he's getting away from the cops, though.
Yeah, it's the first. He didn't have a good first step.
Yeah, he got beat off the line.
Baker Mayfield, though, had a little bit more juice. He had a little bigger arm, I think, and more athletic, more of a playmaker. Mac Jones is a little bit more. I mean, it's too simple, but I always come back to Kirk Cousins with him. He feels like Kirk Cousins plus, maybe, because just the way he's not physically impressive, doesn't have a cannon arm, but can make the throws, you know, most of the throws you need a quarterback to make, and he's accurate, and like he knows what's going on and can run the offense. And despite not having a cannon arm, throws a pretty good and catchable deep ball. Although you saw it as pro day, and someone put it out there. I think it was Josh Norris, maybe. Somebody put a tweet out there and cut. There's it was first of all, props to the NFL Network people, because during Mac Jones' pro day, he misses this deep like deep post route. Mm-hmm. This is it long. And they and the cameras immediately cut close up to Kyle Shanahan's face watching this workout. And then I think it was Norris. I can't remember who it was. They edited the video and then cut after the Shanahan face close up. They cut to the Super Bowl of Jimmy Garoppolo overthrowing Emmanuel Sanders. And I thought that was pretty
funny. Good.
But there was, that's good. I mean, just he just has to really give a lot of his effort into throwing the ball. And so most of the quarterbacks I would compare him to aren't the type of quarterbacks that have traditionally gone in the top of the draft. So it'd be more like the second round types. And it's funny.
Yeah, when you
go ahead.
When you compare him to Kirk Cousins like that, it, which isn't bad. You know, Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, but he's not the quarterback that you give up, you know, four picks for.
Right. And he was a fourth round pick for a reason.
That's
the other thing. And people compare him to Tom Brady. And it's like, well, Tom Brady was a sixth round pick.
Right.
And completely changed his body once he was in the NFL and was just this other level of worker. And it's like he's an outlier of outliers. So you can't compare guys to that. First of all, it's a misnomer about Jerry Rice being slow. But every time someone runs a 4.5 40, they're like, oh, that could be the next Jerry Rice. And it's like, okay, yeah, keep comparing people to Jerry Rice. See how often that happens, right?
You just can't right, you're talking about the GOAT.
Everybody, the one that was the worst was, I think it was Mike Tannenbaum, was like, I see the pick for the 49ers being Mac Jones because he compares more closely to and rattled off former Shanahan quarterbacks and then Matt Schaub. And he named Matt Schaub in there too. I was like, are you hearing what you're saying? You just said that the 49ers are going to spend four draft picks because this player resembles Matt Schaub. Are you listening to what you're saying? So that's why it's so hard to believe. And all the comparisons are, you know, pretty pedestrian players. I guess the best comparison for like a Kyle Shanahan quarterback would be Matt Ryan, but I think Matt Ryan was a better prospect. He was, you know, taller, better arm,
stronger arm.
A longer track record career in college, you know, and it's just like when I watched Mac Jones, they were a juggernaut of an offense at Alabama and his wide receivers were just constantly open and he was never under pressure because their offensive line was so good. So that's why we saw with Tua last year, that's a crazy jump to go from that to the NFL, especially with the Dolphins who had no skill position talent. Niners have a little better talent than that, but I mean, they're so well coached, wide open, every play. Things are as easy as they could possibly be for a quarterback at Alabama.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, if you're going to give up four picks, three first-round draft picks to move up in the draft when there's a lot of quarterbacks out there, you move up to get that generational talent, that physical being, that specimen, that guy could run, throw, do everything you want, and read and check down and do everything, check every box. Mac Jones doesn't check every box like that. That feels to me like he's a guy that you settle on. You don't trade up and sort of sell the farm to get.
Well, Kyle Shanahan told us, right? And that's the other thing that people, I think, are making these jumps when all they have to do is listen to the press conference where Kyle Shanahan said it was pretty ridiculous that Kirk Cousins would be his prototype quarterback. And he said he's looking for a quarterback that can be a top five quarterback in the NFL. And he named Patrick Mahomes and he named John Elway as the prototype. And those are physically some of the freakiest dudes that have ever come out in the NFL draft and are, you know, that talented. And so when you look at what these players could be when they hit their ceiling, you got to believe it's one of those quarterbacks that has that level of arm talent that could be among the top five quarterbacks eventually. And Kyle Shanahan told us that already. So I believe what he told us about what he's looking for more so then I'm going to buy someone saying, well, this guy looks like a pretty average dude, just like some of these average dudes he had before. So it's got to be trading up for him, right?
Well, I mean, that makes me think that it's Trey Lance, right? I mean, you're talking about the guy with the cannon arm, the big body, the prototypical.
Arm-wise, I think Fields and Lance are right there, but Fields is more accurate. Mm-hmm. And Fields is faster, but I think Lance was maybe a little bit more creative as a runner.
He's bigger too, right?
He's bigger. He's an inch taller, essentially.
When you say Elway and Mahomes, like those are big guys.
They're the same weight. Actually, I think I'm pretty sure Justin Fields was taller and heavier than Mahomes coming out.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, right.
Back on the Fields bandwagon.
He's so fast, it's hard to tell how big he is. Like he's just a hair under 6'3", 227 or whatever Justin Fields is. So that's pretty big.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. You're not talking about like under 6 feet, you know, getting on your tiptoes to look over your offensive lineman.
Like taking our own evaluations out of it, if we're trying to figure out what the 49ers are doing, Bronson has a question here. Adam Schefter said today, this was yesterday, that Mac Jones to the 49ers was a done deal. The national media is forgetting how Reuben Foster from Alabama burned John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. Like people, like
you. And me. He burned me too.
Fans don't forget it. Nick Winkler is definitely never going to forget it. And I don't think Kyle Shanahan is ever going to forget it either.
No, you're exactly right.
The Schefter thing is the interesting part of this tweet, and that's why I wanted to read it, because I don't remember who it was, but somebody pointed out that Adam Schefter co-wrote Mike Shanahan's book. So could Mike Shanahan be talking to Schefter and letting him know that, yeah, the Niners are about to draft Mac Jones?
Or is he just putting that out there as like,
Schefter's awesome when things are actually happening and for real. And he's getting information about this deal is done. This is a thing that's happening, right? Schefter's on top of it. He's the best. He's not the greatest when it comes to projecting what will happen in the future.
Yeah.
So he's hearing that from somebody.
Yeah.
But does the person even know? And would Mike Shanahan even know? And would Mike Shanahan, if he knows, would he tell anybody? I think Mike Shanahan knows the game and would not screw his son over like that and actually tell if his son doesn't want that information out there. Just like, that's the other thing about it. If there's been zero leaks since 2017 with the 49ers, right? Nobody knew all of their biggest deals. Nobody knew it was going to be Solomon Thomas. Nobody knew it was going to be
McGlinchey.
Brandon Ayuk that they're trading up for. McGlinchey.
Yeah.
The DeForest Buckner trade?
Out of nowhere.
This trade, moving up to number three, right?
Yeah.
Schefter had it, but not until it was done.
Right.
So
it's a good call.
I think most of the Mac Jones stuff is just people drawing a conclusion and guessing and making it up. And if there is anybody saying from the 49ers that it's Mac Jones, that tells me it's definitely not, because why would they be telling people unless they want everybody to know? And they would say it publicly. They wouldn't have to sneak around and say it.
You were saying, like, why would Mike tell Schefter that stuff? Well, maybe Kyle wants Mike to tell Schefter that stuff, you know?
That's true.
Yeah,
that's very true. Yeah,
like you said, maybe they want this to get out for some reason or another. But yeah, I don't buy it. I'm not gonna buy Mac Jones. And if I hear it, I'm gonna be shocked come draft day.
Right, since we're putting together the puzzle, the last one here, this one from Albert Breer. He's one of the few national media folks that's really plugged in that's not saying it's Mac Jones.
Mm.
He said, "I don't believe many people know who the Niners are taking third." So he it's not like he says he knows. He's just like, look, nobody knows. He says, right. I'll punctuate that by giving you this nugget. When Kyle Shanahan went to assistant coaches Mike McDaniel and Rich Scangarello and Bobby Slowick, among others, for assessments on the quarterback class in January and February, as he and John Lynch mulled a big move up the draft board, he didn't share his own evaluation with those guys. And I don't want anyone to take that as discrediting what anyone who's close to Shanahan, like Chris Sims, says, because Sims, for one, has a really good read on what Shanahan wants in a quarterback. I just know the Niners have efforted to keep this one very close to the vest, and even though they don't necessarily have to anymore. If you're asking me, Mac Jones might make the most sense for year one, Trey Lance for year four, and Fields as the player with the most talent of the three for Shanahan to mine, but that's just me. So essentially he's saying and this is the case in most buildings, you're not telling everybody, and even your highest ranking assistant coaches don't know what pick you're going to make. So that's kind of the thing. So if you're just talking to a random scout, that scout might like a guy. That scout might think he knows, but he doesn't know. He doesn't know what the GM's about to do.
Nah, he's just assuming. He's hopping out there being like, hey, guys, this is what I feel is happening. This is my temperature on the room. But like you said, they don't actually have the info. They're just throwing it out there.
And we also know that they play the draft game. We know John Lynch told us that he went as a smokescreen to Patrick Mahomes Pro Day in 2017. And we know that they were going to skip Pro Days this year. And that was part of the reason they made the trade. It was like, now we don't have to skip any of this stuff. We can just go watch them all in the public and people know that we're looking at quarterbacks. But before that, they were skipping Pro Days.
Right.
And so whose Pro Day happened before the trade was Trey Lance. So was that the one that they were skipping because they didn't want people to know that they love Trey Lance? And we started to see a lot of Trey Lance going number four to the Falcons, and then the Niners traded up one spot ahead of them at pick three. So if you're connected to some dots, maybe it is Trey Lance as the guy that they liked, and we'll see if they have that second pro day with Trey Lance, and it looks like they already have a second pro day lined up now. Let me see if I can get that date for...
I mean, what are we sitting here? Are we 3 weeks away from the draft at this point?
The draft is, I believe, April 28th or 29th, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, so this is, we're talking about 3 weeks from tomorrow.
Right. 3 weeks from tomorrow, the draft starts. Here it is from Ian Rappaport. Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields will throw for NFL teams again on April 14th. And this time, 49ers coach Kyle Shanahan and GM John Lynch are expected to attend. Both were in Tuscaloosa watching Bama quarterback Mac Jones and others while Fields had his first pro day. So there you go. It's clear as mud who the 49ers are taking at number three.
There it is. Boom. Now you know. That's why they're going. Actually, if... like you said, if anything, the only one they didn't go to is Lance, so that's right. Who they're taking.
Yeah, and but maybe they will still set that up. So if they still set up a Trey Lance pro day, then you know that they're serious about finishing the scouting report, at least on him.
Yeah, or then they really want you to have no idea who they're going to take, which is already the case.
I mean, I already know. It's clear.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it's clear as day to me. A lot of people,
no doubt.
A lot of people trying to muddy it up. No, I know exactly what's going on. I get it. I see.
Nah, yeah, they got this. It's all taken care of. Don't worry, guys.
Fantastic stuff. I'm sure we will not talk any more about this pick for the 49ers. Nick, thank you for joining me as always.
Yeah, buddy. My pleasure.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow with JT O'Sullivan talking about Mac Jones, talking about Zach Wilson, talking about Trey Lance right here. Locked on 49ers.
See ya.